563-2442 or send us an email to mail@voiceofmuscatine.com. First with news, KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk. Today, I'm going to continue a series on the Book of Psalms, the biblical Book of Psalms, which is the prayer book for both Judaism and Christianity. 73 of the 150 Psalms were reportedly written by or sponsored or authorized by David, who 3,000 years ago taught us how to pray. And you know, for almost any emotion, almost any state you can be in relative to life, you know, depression, fear, whatever, the Psalms will address. And it's so important to read them, to be close to them, and to understand that the psalmists keep on talking to God. It's like I've been involved over the years with crisis lines, and I've had a few times where people were suicidal, and I was talking to them on the phone, and the big thing was, whatever you do, please, please, don't hang up. Let's keep talking. Let's just keep talking. God can take whatever we want to throw at God. I was talking to someone this last week who was expressing concern over someone who was keeping things inside and had walked away from God. And I use the analogy of like a little kid with a large person who puts his or her hand on the kid's head and says, go ahead, hit me. Give me the best swing you got. Well, the kid's not going to be able to reach the adult, but he will be able to get it out of his system. So sometimes we need to do that. The big thing is stay on the line and learn to not just read these psalms, but take them in, pray them, get them close to your heart, because they will help you in your daily life. So this is the third session and hopefully the last, and I'm going to begin with Psalm 13 about feeling that God has forgotten the psalmist. Ever been there? Here it is. It's short. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy exalt over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That's a piece of work, isn't it? There are so many mood shifts in this, in such utter honesty and a fearlessness to address God in this way. God, you're hiding your face from me. Ever had that feeling? Where is God? Where is God? Is there a God? Yet this guy's got a history where he has trusted in God's steadfast love, and he believes rejoice in God's salvation yet again. And the end there, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Does that mean there's a time interval? And now he's in a better place? Or is it referring to the past? I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me before. And this is the basis of faith, my friends, your history. How has God been with you before? God does come through, maybe not till the 11th hour. I can't tell you when or how God's going to do it. But for those who remain faithful and open to God, who do not hang up on God who did not turn and walk away, because God's the only game in town, my friends. God will indeed be there. Next, I want to turn, and I think I'll do this more or less in order, to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and you can try to get a figure sense as to, okay, what's going on with this person at this time? And see if you can relate to this with your emotional life and your prayer life. Oh, in you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a refuge, be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong. Let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Well, the first thing I need to say about that is, into your hand I commit my spirit. Sound familiar? That is one of the words of our Lord on the cross as he was being crucified. He quoted from two psalms, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? And also at the end, he quoted Psalm 31, into your hands I commit my spirit. Wow. Do you know how many times I've said that very line at committal services at gravesides? Into your hands I commit my spirit. Wow. We don't have to wait until we're dead, you know, to do that. You can do it now. To commit your hands, or to commit yourself into the hands of God, is to yield your being, consent to God being your God. And that's what the psalmist is speaking of in the beginning. In you I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. You know, when I first went in the ministry, I did ask God, God, please protect my backside. Lord, protect me from embarrassment. I'll do my best, but you know, I'm only dust after all. Never let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Listen to me, incline your ear, rescue me, speed, be a rock of refuge. That's so strong in the Psalms. Jesus says, you know, build your house, build your life on the rock, which is Christ, our refuge, our place of safety, a strong fortress to save me. For your name's sake, lead and guide me. That goes back to Psalm 23. God will lead us in righteousness for his name's sake. God will do this because of who God is. Just like a parent might say, listen, I'm going to give you money, not because you have it coming, but because of who I am. Because I love you and I'm not going to see you thrown out of your living quarters and destitute. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me. That can be waiting to hear about a cancer, a net that is hidden for me. Will it lead to my demise. Oh, God, help me. How many times over the years I've prayed with people in hospitals for a recovery from cancer or some other malady. Wow, you turn to God. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Very powerful. And at the end, right? Be strong, let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Now I want to turn to Psalm 46. It's also short, but you talk about a psalm that with the crazy things going on in our world today. From hideous, evil acts of outrageous massacre to North Korea, to hurricanes, to names I don't want to name, our country is in profound turmoil. It's a time to turn to God. And these words from Psalm 46 really address that kind of fear about what's going on. What's going to happen to our world, to our country? Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has wrought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Is that appropriate? Wow. Let that psalm sink in as we take a short break.
Hi, this is Sylvan Reed. I've been working on cars for 29 years around Muscatine. Come see us at Uptown Motor Service Department. Full parts and service for working people on a budget. Remember Uptown Motor Service Department. Call us today to keep your car running down the road.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Daytime highs approaching 78 today under sunny skies. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 52. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, 74. Chance for scattered showers Tuesday, with highs in the mid-60s, mainly cloudy skies Wednesday. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Okay, we are back. I hope that psalm spoke to you. Lord knows it speaks to me. What does it say to you? For me, it's a statement of utter faith. Yeah, mountains may crumble. You know, wars happen. Yet in the end, God's going to bring about peace. And there's this river, which is really the Spirit of God. And there is this city of God, this place of the holy habitation of the Most High. There's a place of safety spiritually that we can invest ourselves, commit our hearts to. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. And then that incredible verse, be still and know that I'm God. We have that as a wall hanging in our home. I remember at a retreat where a spiritual leader, a nun, marvelous woman, during a prayer. There were probably 30 of us. And she closed the prayer with this verse, and here's how she did it. As we're there in prayer, she said, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still. Know." That has stuck with me for more than 30 years. Okay, let me switch gears to kind of a different psalm, Psalm 73, but I tell you, have you ever wondered, as certainly I have, and I've had numerous discussions about this particular theme, why is it that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? Ever wondered that? You know, God, how can you justify that some people who, you know, what can you say? They get these things, they don't have what happens to sometimes good people who have these tragedies. God, how do you explain that? Listen to these words of the psalmist. "Truly God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they have no pain, their bodies are sound and sleek. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not plagued like other people. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes swell out with fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against heaven, and their tongues range over the earth. Therefore, the people turn and praise them and find no fault in them. And they say, 'How can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High?' Such are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued, and I'm punished every morning. If I had said, 'I will talk on like this,' I would have been untrue to the circle of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakens, and on awakening you despise their phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was stupid and ignorant. I was like a brute beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Indeed, those who are far from me will perish. You will put an end to those who are false to you. But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, to tell of all your works." Now that, my friends, is a great psalm. I just want to focus on the final verses, because they speak to my heart. Having been an angry young man, I know what it's like to be angry at God and wonder how it is that wicked seems sometimes to prosper while good to suffer. But when my soul was embittered, I too was stupid and ignorant. I guess I was like a beast toward God. Then I learned about God. Then I learned of our Lord. So these words, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. And here it is for me. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I'm going to request that you kind of think about, meditate on these verses, on this last verse. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And as you take that in, as you believe that, it's going to strengthen you. It's going to help you in your daily life. Wow. I tell you, these Psalms are something, aren't they? Wow. Well, I'm going to go on to, there's others I want to do, but I've got to go to my, I guess I'd say it's probably my favorite Psalm. I shouldn't say that. It's the one I just want to spend some time with. And that's Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This hit me one time. I read it when I was feeling really down and alone and isolated. Like, you know, nobody understands me. Ever had that feeling? You're all alone within you. You know, is anybody there? Does anybody care? And I remember it was at a pastor school in 1973. And I felt so different because I had been involved with a Catholic charismatic renewal. I was a Methodist pastor. I'm open to all faiths, folks. But at any rate, these people were terrified of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know how to explain myself. Well, anyway, I was in my room, and I happened upon this psalm, which I really didn't know. Let me read the psalm, and I'll tell you what it says to me. But imagine, as I begin, that the psalmist, is one of David's psalms, felt a particular closeness to God, sensed the presence of God very powerfully, and then these words just fall out. O God, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which means hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to an end. I am still with you. There's more of the psalm. Without getting too technical, there's a strange addition to this, but many psalms have things added that were added later that are in a different mind, a different spirit, as does this, but I want to stay with this because this is really the completion of that psalm. Why? Because there were psalms were written before the exile, the Babylonian exile, the 50-year exile, and those that were written after. And sometimes they just added words at another time to a psalm which was read not just in private but in public worship. Okay, so here we go. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Now, this becomes later omniscience, omni, every, all-knowing. God is all-knowing. This is the clearest statement, first of all, that God knows everything. You search out my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, even before words on my tongue, Lord. You know it. You hem me in before and behind. You lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. So we go from all-knowing, wretch, watch this now. Wait a minute. Where can I go from your spirit? Whither can I flee from thy spirit in the King James? Or flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand's going to lead me. Your right hand will hold me fast. This is omnipresence. God is everywhere. God is all-knowing, and God is everywhere. There is no place that God isn't. Surely the darkness shall cover me, right? The light about me may die. No, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Okay, so we got the two. Now we get the third. Omnipotence, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. Now, why God doesn't always exercise God's power in the way we would want when we want God to do it is one of the great mysteries, but that's another story for another day. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when as yet none of them existence. How mighty to me are your thoughts, O God. So you get a sense of the experience of God being all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. I've had that. That can be an experience you can attain in prayer. Well, my friends, we're coming pretty quickly to the end of our hour, our half hour. Seems like an hour. I have more psalms to read, but maybe I should go on to other parts of the Bible and sort of focus there. At any rate, if you would like to hear this show, I will later today have it on my website, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. And if you'd like to write me, if there's something you'd like me to talk about regarding God in any sense, write me at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com. Wow. Get into the Psalms. That's all I can say. Let them be close to your heart, as they are so close to the heart of our faith. God bless you all.